Let me read today from Romans chapter 1 and from verse 7. Paul says in this opening part of this tremendous letter, part of his greeting, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making a request, if by any means, now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. Finished there at Romans 1 and verse 10. Today I would like to draw your attention to the words of verse 8, this first point which Paul remarkably draws attention to in his opening chapter when he says, first, I thank my God. He has something to rejoice in. He has a reason to praise God. We might say, surely, Paul, you've got many reasons to thank God and to rejoice in. After all, as we start to work through Romans, we discover that we have, in many respects, a letter and a book like no other. Nowhere else, I believe, in New Testament scripture, Old Testament scripture, of course, as well, do we have such a comprehensive, such a detailed and systematic unfolding and explanation of justification by faith alone in our Lord Jesus Christ alone. And for this reason, it has become something of an anchor for believers over the years, especially in Reformation time. We think of Martin Luther, we think of the great messages and movements of God which came as a result of the unfolding and the preaching and the expository teaching of this tremendous portion of Holy Scripture. All the more amazing that when you look at the opening verses and you have this opening greeting and salutation, that Paul's first intention, and I guess it's part and parcel of the ministry that we see concerning the Apostle Paul, that he comes to rejoice in God, to thank God for something he has witnessed and he has seen. Very likely that Paul is not in Rome. As to how the church itself was established at the very beginning, the thought of many is that this would have come maybe as a result of Pentecost and believers who had been converted moving into the capital there in Rome under the Roman Empire. And as Christians and those converted from Judaism and also then those converted from the Gentile world began to move around and to circulate, and the witness of Christ was that which was multiplying, that God in his goodness and his grace established a body and a group of believers here in Rome. And Paul is writing to them. He hopes to go to them. He hopes to be there in verse 10. If by any means, now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you all. For I long to see you, he says, verse 11, that I may impart some spiritual gift, and so on. But before he goes himself, he has this letter to give to them. And what he has heard has gladdened his soul. What he has received by way of message to his ears, he hears of their faith in its very initial form and phase, faith in Christ, saving faith, and then faith where there is a development, there is a growth, there is a going on, there is a maturing. And all of these things, it thrills the heart of this man of God, as it should for every Christian and every believer. So that's something, a very brief backdrop, we might say, to the words of Paul here. When he writes to these believers at Rome, he calls them saints of God, and he thanks God that their faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Remember that when we look at Scripture, and we look at all these epistles, these letters that we have, that the Lord also refers to us as Christians as epistles, as living testimonies, those who are read and known of all men. And that's what you have here, whether these were Jews or Gentiles, where they ever they came from their backdrop, through being saved and by growing in the things of God, they were these living epistles. So today, as we come to a close, let's think about these words which are here in verse 8, where Paul says, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world." Now, first of all, let's think about this word faith and what Paul is referring to here. I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. So he speaks in a very general manner. Now he's explaining what he means by this. He's rejoicing in them, in being the people of God. But he has something very specific in mind that he's thanking God for. And he tells us, that's your faith. That's your faith. And I believe the word there which is spoken of really is a word that is describing for us the whole general form of Christianity, because sometimes the word faith refers to particular things. It can refer to saving faith, the gift of God, as we shall see very shortly, whereby we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ and we receive Christ and his righteousness imputed to us. It's received by faith alone. We call that saving faith. And then we might think of faith in terms of believing faith, where those who have become Christians and they are to walk by faith and they trust God and they see a measure of increase in their faith. And then faith can also refer to the whole form of Christianity itself, where we are to contend for the faith. So it's always good just to keep those distinctions in mind. When Paul is thanking God here, he speaks of their faith, your faith is spoken of. And I suggest that really everything is in mind here, whether it's their initial saving faith, whether it's their growth and that measure of faith, or even if we might say they're contending, earnestly contending for the faith. Paul hears of this, he sees it, and it gladdens his soul. He's glad because he sees that this message of Christ crucified and Christ in us, the hope of glory, this message is taking root not just in Jerusalem and not just in Judea and Samaria. No, no, it's going into the uttermost parts of the earth. It did then, all of those years ago, my friend, and it is to this very day. Aren't you glad that we can rejoice in our God because the faith of Christ is that which crosses and breaks down boundaries and is spoken of in this world? It's not something which is exclusive to a culture or to a nationality or a background, none of those things. It is the message, whoever we are, that saves us to the uttermost. It is the message of Christ and him alone. Then we can see something else here. Here was a faith that was evidently given. This was not something that was worked up or generated by these people. It was a faith that was spoken of, because this was an evident token of a gift of God. And Paul elsewhere reminds us that it is by faith we are saved through grace. It is none of ourselves. It is the gift of God. And it's always presented in that manner. Always. And even though every person in this world is a command by God to believe and repent, and our inability does never take away or remove our responsibility, what it does highlight is this plain and simple and yet glorious fact that faith that we have, whereby we believe on Christ and we live for God, it is a gift from him. And that's why all the praise is given unto God. I thank my God, not I thank you, but we're thanking God for what he's done in you. And I rejoice in your faith that God has given to you. I rejoice in that day when you were saved. And likewise, you should rejoice in the same for me. And then lastly, a faith that is witnessed or spoken of throughout the whole world. No doubt this refers to the Roman Empire or the then known world, especially those areas where the message of Christianity had a profound influence and impact. So it's referred to as the whole world as opposed to the exclusive areas of Judea and Israel and so on. But is it interesting to think in difficult territory, in maybe heathen territory at this particular point, the gospel made inroads. It made a difference. It changed lives. So our faith in Christ must be spoken of in this world, not hidden, not put to one side, not shrouded and covered in darkness, but made known, revealed to these people, so people see a difference in us. They see the change which has been effected by the cross of Jesus Christ. And then other believers, wherever they might be, say, I thank God, I see Christianity and Christ at work. And so I rejoice in God for their faith, which has been spoken of. Let's pray. Lord, give us such a walk as this, that wherever we are and whatever our circumstances may be, that we demonstrate the work and the grace and the goodness of God in our life, and that men and women who are ignorant and without Christ might see the faith of Christ and then start to inquire, and they too will be saved. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.